Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Let's welcome Joel Erickson, who covers the Colts for the Indianapolis Star. And Joel, we'll talk a little bit about no fans in the stands. But recently, I kind of giggled at the comments from Baltimore coach John Harbaugh about these unrealistic expectations the NFL has to even get through training camp in the midst of this pandemic. What do you think about the way that the NFL has handled all the challenges, even through its draft and free agency and now virtual OTAs this spring?
I think in some ways it's not really, I think there's going to be changes. Just the biggest thing to me is that the NFL rolled it out and the NFLPA said that they had it, that they came up with it without running it by them first, and that's immediately a red flag. I think we already saw this with baseball, where they came out with a series of protocols for how they were going to do things, and then the union got involved and they changed. So I think that's probably going to happen, especially as we get closer to training camp, where the players are going to have their say too on what they do, and so I think all the stuff we've seen so far, I think it's going to change.
What issues do you think might be most important for the players?
Well, if I remember right, I think with baseball, some of it was like not having a shower away from the facility, that kind of thing. And I think it might be, I think it actually might be some of that. I think it might be some of the players trying to get them to agree to roll back some of the restrictions. Trying to think of like what they would be, but it's hard to tell because it's hard to tell like what parts the players are going to decide. You know, I feel okay with that. But that'd be my guess. It seems like once players have gotten a hold of it, they said, you know, we're okay with some stuff that maybe the league said they were not okay with.
This idea of keeping your distance on a football field too, how in the world does that work, Joel?
I don't know. I don't really know. And honestly, the locker thing, it seems a little ridiculous to say our lockers are going to be 6 feet apart when you're going to then go out on the field and line up a yard away from each other and then run physically into them every time. There's some parts of the distancing part of it. I get players, coaches, all those guys stay away from other people in the facility, limits the amount. But in terms of the players being close to each other, it's hard for me. It's a little hard for me to understand why it's okay for them to be close to each other when they're hitting each other and tackling each other, but it's not okay when they're just standing in the locker room. You would think that if it was going to get passed, it would do so in play as well as it would in the locker room.
For sure. And those are all things that have to be worked out between the NFLPA and, of course, the ownership. Joel Erickson covers the Colts for the Indy Star with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. As I've thought about some of the stadiums around the NFL without fans, gosh, I cannot imagine Lucas Oil without fans being empty, a dome. Have you ever been inside it when there's been nobody there?
Yes, I have, actually. We shot like our Indy Star promo photos in an empty Lucas Oil not too long after I started working here. And I do think that would take some getting used to for the players, because it does feel weird. It does feel weird even if you're just a normal person kind of standing down there on this big, empty, cavernous stadium without fans there. The fans just kind of make it look smaller, I think. And if there's no fans in there, it's going to look a lot bigger to everyone. So that's going to be something they're going to have to get used to a little bit.
Last week, we heard from Philip Rivers some extensive comments about moving to Indianapolis, about what the Zoom, OTAs, the Zoom spring has been like, and getting acclimated. What stands out about his first, I think, extensive comments with the Colts?
Well, I think the big thing to me is that he's got these players-only workouts that he tried not to take credit for setting up, but he did kind of set up. And just how important it is. You know, we think of him as just having to get throws in, that kind of thing. Like you just say, tell a guy to go run a slant. But it's really more than that. They need to have defenders on him so he knows how they adjust routes, how they react to things. Like when we talk about chemistry with a quarterback and receiver, that's really what we're talking about.
Right.
And it sounds like that's why he's got these workouts going, so that he can get some semblance of that and get started a little bit on learning these guys. They try to tell them, you know, he can watch film and see it, but it's different throwing it, and I think that's what he needs.
Why does he fit with Frank Reich and the Colts offense?
Well, the biggest thing is that they didn't throw the ball down the field at all last year. Jacoby Brissett was often reluctant to pull the trigger, kind of struggled to pull the trigger at times. Rivers is going to throw the ball down the field, and the Colts were lacking the explosive passing game that normally should go with a running game that was as good as theirs is. So they needed somebody who was going to push the ball down the field and get some of that explosive element back in the offense. Rivers will do that. And the other thing is that they've got the offensive line to give him time that the Chargers, I almost said San Diego again, that the Chargers never really gave him. So I think they're counting on that Colts offensive line to help him kind of mitigate some of the issues he had last year just by giving him more time.
When you think back about last season, how I know the Colts, they were expected to be a team that was going to build on the year before when they won, 9 of 10 games and got into the postseason and won a playoff game. And it was supposed to be a build on top of that year. And then, of course, the Andrew Luck retirement. But how did you see the leadership come through last year, even as they had to battle through that unexpected gut punch?
Well, I think you saw it right away. I mean, they came out and went 5-2. And I think that there's a sense of this team that they have, you know, they're going to get through stuff. Them going 9 of 10, that was after a 1-5 start. And so they're used to adversity. They're used to coming through. And so that kind of kicked in. And then I think towards the end of the season, I don't know if it was a leadership thing. Chris Ballard did say that he felt like they needed guys to give a little more friction. But they probably needed to have a little bit more of something. The way that they kind of fell off towards the end of the season.
Joel Erickson is an insider for the Indy Star covering the Colts and with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. How do you like what they did during the draft and free agency other than Philip Rivers in order to address their needs?
Well, so DeForest Buckner, well, obviously it was huge news when it went down, but it's even more important in this defense. This defense is predicated on the three technique tackle creating stuff. And a lot of times last year, when you were watching games that they were struggling to get sacks and get pressure, it was not the edges. The edges were beating the tackle. They were getting around. And then quarterbacks would step up into empty pockets. Nico Autry is a good player at defensive tackle who can provide you some pass rush, but it's more sporadic. It's not consistent. DeForest Buckner is going to be the guy who is constantly getting up into the quarterback's face. They're not going to have a place to step, and that's going to make Houston better. If Kamoka Ture comes back healthy, it's going to make him better. It's going to make those edge rushers better and give them more chance to get home. I think he's a really big piece here, and I think it's kind of fallen off. And even then, because of all the quarterback news, I don't think it hit big, and then I don't think people talked about it a lot. But getting a player like that for this defense gives this defense a chance to go from kind of average and up and down to kind of really take a step. To help them. And I think the other one that really interests me, everyone's going to talk about Michael Pittman because Philip Rivers needs receivers, but Jonathan Taylor is interesting to me in this offense. You know, he played behind an unbelievable line at Wisconsin, and you'd think that going, it'd be hard to get somebody that, get another offensive line that dominant and that road grading in the league, and then he gets drafted to the Colts. So Marlon Mack was very good last year. They're going to share carries, but Taylor's got that home run capability that's really intriguing behind the Colts offensive line.
The enthusiasm that Rivers is known for. I mean, that, and then you talk about the motivation that he brings in after responding to claims that he was done and that his career was over. And then you have Frank Reich, who's talking about how he expects Rivers to play more than one season. What is the plan? Are they rebuilding? Are they looking at 2020 as a year for them to get back to the playoffs? What's the goal?
I think it's to get back to the playoffs and really be a contender while you're really get in the playoffs and be a contender while you're looking for the next quarterback. That's the biggest thing. They were sitting at number 13 this year. They did not feel like they were going to be able to get a quarterback that they valued as a franchise type player at that pick. That's why they traded it. That's why they didn't move up into the first round when Jordan Love started flipping. You've seen this. Chris Ballard was in Kansas City when they got Alex Smith and left to take the Colts job right before they got Patrick Mahomes. And that's kind of one of these things where you have a quarterback who can get a good roster to the playoffs and give you a chance. And that gives you more chances to look for whoever the next guy is going to be so that you don't feel like you go into a draft like this one and have to force a pick on a player you're not sure about.
Joel, the idea that everybody's on a level playing field, I think, is something the NFL wants. And so we don't exactly know what it's going to look like or what games might look like or how many stadiums might have fans. So all of those are variables that are aside. But what provides the stability for the Colts as they go into this season where all bets are off, really?
Well, I really think it's Ballard and Reich. And I think the other thing is this is a franchise that's been through some pretty big swings the last couple of years. Josh McDaniels takes the job and then leaves. Frank Reich comes in, ends up having to have three members of his staff be guys that McDaniels hired and then left after they'd already started their jobs at Indianapolis. Andrew Luck, obviously, last year. They've been through some big, huge news, crazy type of things.
Yeah.
And I think the way they've handled it makes it so that all of this stuff that's going on, they don't notice it as much because they've had to deal with some pretty big stuff that you know that's impossible not to notice. And I think that just breeds sort of a, for lack of a better way of looking at it, a crisis response within the organization that helps them through stuff like this.
What's it like for you to do your job and not actually have access to the players, the coaches, the facilities?
It's a little weird. It's a little strange. You're used to trying to get guys one-on-one and ask a couple of questions. Maybe you can follow up. Now you really only get one, and then it's going to move on. You might get a follow-up, but you can't really explore a topic. And there's not really – I mean, they've given us some – they've given all the reporters some one-on-ones if we had the right story angle, but they can't do that with every guy every time. So it actually kind of reminds me of my days when I used to cover Auburn in the SEC, and they didn't let you go in the locker room and they just gave you players. You have to be better at sort of collecting stuff and using it later on down the line. It's very different, though, when you can't talk to the players face-to-face.
What about covering games? Could you imagine not being able to be at the facilities if it comes to that? I don't know that it will.
No, it feels like I think even if they did a thing where you have reporters come in and you go into the stadium and maybe you only go into the press box and then you do a Zoom or video interview or something afterwards, I think I'd like to have that because the TV you don't see as much when you're on the TV copy and you're looking at the close up thing, and it's just hard to imagine not being able to see the whole field and experience it that way.
Yeah, certainly, almost like flying blind, certainly a challenge that we couldn't have prepared for, but I think that puts all of us as Americans in the same boat. You can find Joel on Twitter at Joel A. Erickson, Erickson, covers the Colts for the Indy Star, and maybe has a couple of weeks to breathe, but then right into training camps, believe it or not. Joel, thanks so much for a couple of minutes. It's good to talk to you.
Yeah, you bet. Thanks for having me on.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road.
With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.